great poem this morning on Africa. I love them. Okay, what have I got? More damn locals. Some new, some old. Now, these are nothing to do with nature and then moments in time. So I call them locals. Newsflash, circa 4004 BC. God invented sex. He or she has a wacky old sense of humor. Mock democracy elections. Have you noticed how politicians are there just when they need you? Are we glowing yet? If Windscale does do a Chernobyl, you'll never ever sell a field. Open mic. Could be verse, you say. On the other hand, could be a capital crime. Low friends in high places. What is NAMA for? Float the banks and the developers, risk sinking us all. Mediterranean magic. Wine, thyme, olive oil. Beaker full of the warm south. Wish I had said that first. Who said life was meant to be fair? Henri has some neck. Appeal to ref for handball. More laughs for FIFA. Ah, the bitter word. So nothing like it. And I hear Irishmen have fallen very low in the romanticism ratings. Somebody said that a survey had been done and Irishmen who were asked what was their favourite position said centre half.
Now that you're all laughing, I'll put the smile on the other side of your face. This is a ghost story. It's set in the 19th century during the Irish famine. Three children are the last in the valley in a cottage. There are starving dogs everywhere, and the dogs are in the cottage now. And they've broken in the windows. There's three children. Ellie is the eldest, Tig and Deirdre. Tig and Deirdre rush to block up the broken window. Ellie puts the table on its side, jams it against the window, but there is still a gap. After a minute or two, another dog hauls himself in over the table, yelping as the glass on the upper part of the frame cuts his back. He falls back out again, but another thinner dog leaps right up and manages to squeeze in over the table. The children, their backs pressed against the hearthstone, stare at the pale grey hound with its skin stretched taut around its body. On landing, it creeps low towards Tig, snarling and preparing to spring. Tig, over here, shouts Ellie. The kitchen, quick, it's our only chance. I can't, he cries, holding the dog back with a chair, staring in terror at the long snout of the greyhound. The dog draws his lips back and snarls, and his fangs descend from his gums. Deirdre grabs a chair and holds it up, trying to keep the other dog at bay. Ellie advances quickly with the poker, swinging it desperately in front of the greyhound's face, trying to distract his attention from her brother. Get behind me, Tig, quick. But the boy hesitates. What are you waiting for? She screams. Tig makes no move towards the kitchen door. Instead, he edges back towards the hearth and snatches the crucifix and the tin box from the mantelpiece. Clutching them tightly to his chest, he inches his way back towards the kitchen, all the time watching the dog. One moment it's barking at Ellie, and the next at Tig. Every time the dog makes to go for Tig, Ellie moves forward with the poker, jabbing it in the dog's face, coming closer each time. Finally, Tig is behind her, and she and Deirdre, who's holding the chair against the other dog's wing, inching their way back too, until they have backed into the kitchen, where at the last second they slam the door against the oncoming dog.
Thank you. sorry, not so light. Death and death and more death. The river at Inniscarra Abbey graveyard. Out by the alders, where the water pools over dead man's hole, boys swing, stretching their pale limbs. They shout, they listen for the echo. Brown trout swim deeper, nosing the flat stones. Behind the low wall in the abbey's graveyard, there are voices beyond our hearing, the sound of no sound, echoing. My mother kept a breath coil tucked in the side pocket of her bag. Forceps-like, my small fingers would fish it out, unfold its worn brown envelope, pull the gossamer skin up to the light. She'd tell me once again, this was a talisman, good luck charm for sailors in the high seas, the look in her eyes, far away as the sea. I didn't know this was a cherished memory, taken from the head of her firstborn, the boy who later passed away in his sea blue cot. The Sped Islands and Bonehead. The islands, two pyramids and a blue green sea. Cloud wisps linger across their tips, Bonehead's head on its rock clothes, a giant sphinx. The road begins from an outcrop, narrow and winding, through Kilreelic salmon village. Crows fly from the crumbling gable, their black coats tattered in the wind. On the seaward side, in a small field, lie teetering cliff-edged graves, their headstones, shark fins in green sea.
What to read, and then my dad turned up. So it'll change. Oh, I did. Okay, I'll do this one because sometimes I think art and large are. I can't even remember what I read. I was fortunate enough to read here last year, and I'm thinking, oh shit, have I read that before? But we'll have to just go with it. And yeah, she's like pushing the edge a little bit, and well, make what you do. It's called Growing Pains. Silence was the lullaby you left. Keep Susan awake. She wasted her teenage hunting for the reason she said must be hidden in your record collection. She untangled Joy Division, two-tone, and scar. Till anorexia finally broke her. She unstitched each lyric, gnawed every chorus and verse, punished herself like a thin dog, because you gave her the red thing that any glass shape could cut out of her wrist, and I hope you have time to panic properly, time to regret the mess you left for your mother to find. I hope you have time to watch your soft pulse throb like love sex into the bath you dream like a Hollywood cliché. I hope you have time to panic properly. See, I'll just remember you as the one with fat fingers that Susan even bothered to kiss. That local hero, us hungry girls fell in love with till our period started. But I never will forget your dad in my dad's chair drinking whiskey, asking me to write your eulogy because I liked poetry and wouldn't let him down. So it was for him and for him alone I took that ugly drop at your funeral. So that I was capable to stand at the altar to tell lies to your mother. To a too young congregation that stood in their older brother's suit, smart shoes, awkward black ties. I watched them cast aimless prayers into the sky while I begged God for selfish trust. The football pitch you ran across every fucking Sunday. Yes, I hope you have time to panic properly. Thank you.
I'm going to pull it out of the design with it because it's too heavy this evening, so I need a much lighter one. There we go. This is not a cigarette, she says, passing around the joint over beer cans and empty wine bottles tossed by the party tide like boats abandoned in the bay beyond the coffee table shore. Smoke words drift above our heads, recumbent on cracked leatherette. We sit and watch them form and fade and float away on a bass wave out the door. This is not a cigarette, he says, handing me the joint over flowing ashtrays, spilling beer and bottles into puddles of wine on the can-strewn floor. Lying back on leatherette, I pull hard on the joint and exhale slow to make my point. The smoke words start to drift away. I stop the tide and make them stay. I hook 'em, reel 'em in, and own 'em. This is not a cigarette, I say. It's a late night party poem.
Are you coming home for tea, the time of the day, this year when the weather has just started, improving, revising the heat of the sun? So come on, tell me about your birth and subsequent life. In Stygian banks, officially ranking best in the world by world thumb rule, natural born psychosis, I believe. Nothing on welfare, all for scrutiny. Work your way and pay your duty. All is rain, I believe. You're about to ask me, Morrison is joking, and brings his grave. I kid you not. You agree. America serve your purpose, Chiraman. This is called Prologue for the New Year. New style affected for a while, and years and years and years of gears and synchromesh, gauged and braided for later years and years and years of artificial engine in our own blood and honesty. Probably at the wrong times of test in what we think is best, the goddess stews in her own candlelight, and the throwing of the eyes of the sweet has fallen charted. The new centre of the barrage reinstating the bore of nothing to do in almost every twist from the face and angle from the armlets and waving kept ground. And the rebels obsoleted, knelt the well, bells they have foretold. I have been very, very bold. Sweeping from shores and every weeping from his claws and consequences in the dark falls from the softness of cold walls as a part of one stand amidst and a crisis all over the state. More sisters will break for its own water's sake. Thanks.
These are about my dad. First one is called Green Eye. You kept the woodshed pristine, coiled wire and cable, tacks and nails in labelled jars, screwdrivers neatly bracketed, hammers, hacksaws hung on the wall. Now, no one left to use your gear. Files straddle the shelves. A level's water green eye vies for space with bits and braces near the yawning jaws of a vice. And the second one is about him as well. It's called Apprentice. It's about the time I used to watch him working. Apprentice. Through a knothole in time,
I see you playing a length of wood. Honey-coloured shavings fall to the floor. A blow lamp raises blistering scabs on the frame of a door. A soldering iron spits and hisses, loosens a solid bar to silver threads. Saturday mornings in summer, I watched as you showed me the ropes, magicked the world.
These stains like blood on their two pale faces. Cet enfant muet dans la ville éveillée. This mute child in the woken city. Ces oiseaux enfermés dans la cage d'eau. These birds locked in the cage of water. Ces flammes vives lèchent la sphère vide. These lively flames lick the empty sphere. Cet être inconnu, déambulant au long des chemins aveugles, me rappelle la perversité des miroirs. This unknown being wandering along the blind path reminds me of the perversity of mirrors. Les champs de pluie noient le battement sourd du cœur désabusé, et je voudrais tant répondre au téléphone qui sonne dans ma tête. These songs of rain drown out the beating of this disabused heart, and I wish I could answer the phone that rings in my head. Ce poisson qui cherche le ciel tombe pourtant, s'enfonce dans la terre et gît sur un lit de larves, comme ces pages lourdes qu'on enterre sans plus. This fish who searches for the sky falls, however, into the earth, and rests on a bed of larvae, like these heavy pages that we bury without thought. Ces fleurs bleues fanées qu'on piétine m'inspirent comme tes larmes qui tombent sur mes mains la nuit, j'écris. These wilted blue flowers we trample inspire me like your tears falling on my hands at night, I write. Thank you.
Two short poems, one in Irish and one in English. Well, I have others, but I won't bother about them. So they're two sonnets, really, or kinds of sonnets. I don't have a translation. The first one and the other one is slightly different, so I'll read you the Irish first and then the English, which has nothing to do with it. The Irish is called Nua Vaishtri, and this is how it goes. Bishad Kapilor Lech Kasigot Nua Vaishtri. Nirvegar Khoslo Beharaha Kahavshin and Tullish. The shoulders sit it. I was banned to live little and I could look potter, you rail or still be able to egg in a son garlic of vahish. Bahochti, Nashin Yov Shah, on Travis Tigger Mop, as in letter cap on her Gorvini and Puyan Tav, or Yahimel Shri and Turidor, Ila, Sunni Yaharov. On Bail Oma, thank the Milish Lietha, on Villa Ria Van Ho, Viesako Caravan Tresha Bema, a monk shall you. Ik schegal en zie een taal in zijn schnachten, voor wagracht de schirikool, Rilo roile de koning in leon tahanas so de nayor, a machno de squibinios, kaiser of Natina de blue. Daime dirach me vanachta, sor choyo nasser as, yin den chenche de eske, rod burnanach, crown is chas. It has to do with mother nark, really, was that's what I'm saying. The next one is much lords of temple, that more because it's to do with cheese. G.K. Chesterton once said, he said that poets have been extraordinarily quiet on the subject of cheese. And not surprising because I hate it. You know?
I
know you do, and this is for all those people who really love cheese. It's an empty cheese poem, all right? Okay, so it's called cheese. It's a cheesy poem, actually, along the way. What is it about cheese that's mainly the crap beat out of milk? Although there are some who prefer it hairy rather than like silk. For hairy means it's made out of some kind of goat, maybe some dribble of camembert or languedoc. How could anyone eat anything called gobine or fromage froid or fontainebleau or amis de chambertin? I like my cheese. Well, no, it's not really a food. More like a commercial sickly packaged turd. There's sheets of hair in it and gouda too. Gouda that, it must be veined with blue. Better still if worms fall through the cracks. Is that Gruyere or Mozzarella or just Mount Axe? Plain Mitchell Sound, Waterloo or Sherapan? The truth is my palate, don't give a fuck or damn. What's brown and full of holes when it comes down to it? You got it, a plateful of organic tasty Swiss brown shit.